WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. This morning, we're going to start off the show with a six-shooter. It was aired 64 years ago today, 17th of January, 1954. This one is entitled The Silver Buckle.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the six-shooter. The NBC WMFO. Radio Network presents James Stewart as the six-shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
The twilight wind carried the sound of the train toward the two figures who waited, hidden in a clump of maple trees. The sandy-haired man knotted a blue bandana at the back of his neck and pulled it over his face, came out at his horse, and gestured to his companion. The other man fitted a soiled handkerchief across his mouth and climbed into the saddle. Touch of spurs sent the horses forward. The train was crawling up a steep grade now, and the riders guided their mounts alongside the slowly moving cars. And then they lifted their boots out of the stirrups and swung themselves up onto a small platform behind the tender. Flicker of lamplight glinted on their revolvers as they opened the door to a passenger coach and stepped inside. For several minutes, the riderless horses continued to pace the clattering wheels. And then the door opened again. The two men pitched off the platform and rolled down the slope of a barren ravine. And in response to the whistle, the horses trotted up to him.
All right, let's go.
Sheriff, there just wasn't any cause. Carl was deaf, and all the noise the train was making, he couldn't understand what they wanted.
Yeah, I know.
He couldn't understand a word. He tried to make out what they were saying, but he couldn't. And when he didn't hand it over...
We'll get him, Mrs. Davis. Don't you worry about that. The posse's meeting here. We'll start out tonight, and we won't be back until we get him.
That won't do Carl much good.
Well, at least we'll make sure they don't kill nobody else in cold blood.
If only I hadn't have given him that belt. If I just hadn't have given it to him.
Belt?
It was my anniversary present to Carl. We were married 25 years last week. That's why we was taking the train trip over to Cheyenne. And that's why I give him the belt. The buckle was sort of silver-like.
What did that have to do with...
It was a belt they wanted. Carl didn't understand when they asked him. He'd already handed over his money and his watch, and then one of them noticed the belt, and he said, "That buckle's silver, ain't it? Give it to me." Carl couldn't make out what he was talking about. And the fella got real mad, and he jabbed a gun into Carl's side, and he pulled the trigger without even giving Carl a chance to...
Easy now, Miss Davis.
Even though Carl was dying, that outlaw took the belt off him anyway, and... It wasn't a silver buckle, Sheriff. It just looked like silver, but it wasn't the real thing.
I sure must have been sleeping sound, or I'd have heard him right up. Of course, they've probably been as quiet as they could under the circumstances, but I usually wake up when I'm out in the range and somebody's prowling around my neighborhood. Well, Scar, he heard him, and he let me know it. Why, what's the matter, boy? Is there something that...
It still wasn't dawn, but there was enough light so that I could see the barrel of a .45 and a firm-mouthed fella standing over me pointing the gun at my head. Howdy.
What's your name, mister, and what are you doing out here?
Well, I was sleeping.
Don't get funny. We want straight answers and we want them quick.
Are you two of you, huh?
At least two.
Oh?
We're waiting, mister.
My name's Ponsett.
Britt Ponsett.
That's right. And as for what I'm doing out here, well, this is a free range. A man's got a right to cross over it and stop off once in a while and take a snooze, if he takes a mind to it.
You trying to claim you're the six-shooter?
I'm not claiming anything. You asked my name, I told you.
How do we know you ain't lying? How do we know that's who you are?
I guess you don't, unless you're willing to take my word for it.
Let's see your gun, mister.
How's that?
I've heard folks tell about the gun Britt Ponsett carries.
Oh?
No, don't touch it. I can see it plain enough.
What do you think, kid?
I guess he's Ponsett, all right. Leastways, that six-shooter sure fits the description.
Oh?
Besides, it didn't seem very likely he'd be one of the fellas we're looking for.
Huh?
Well, there's two of them, and he's out here all alone.
Oh.
Of course, they could have split up, but fellas on the run ain't apt to do that.
Yes, right.
Well, we're sorry if we woke you.
Mm-hmm. I was getting up time anyway. Just who is it you boys are looking for? A
couple of outlaws held up the Cheyenne train last night about 4 miles east of Black Ledge.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, there was some shooting, too. One of the passengers.
We're out hunting the bandits. And my name's Kit Springer. This is my brother, Lex.
Oh, yeah.
Pleased to meet you.
You fellas all alone?
Oh, no. There's a posse. A little way back. Sheriff's leading them. But he thinks the robber's headed for Patch Canyon, so he's taking the posse there. We don't see it that way.
You don't, huh?
We figure them outlaws will try to get through Miller Pass. If they can make it, they'll be in the clear.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
You, ain't seen nobody tonight?
No, I can't say I have.
Hmm. Reckon we figured wrong, then. They'd have to come by here on their way to the pass. This is the only trail, ain't it?
Yeah, that's right. But not seeing them doesn't guarantee they weren't around. The way I was sawing wood, they could have stumbled right over my bedroll without me knowing it.
Well, I guess even if our hunch was right, we couldn't find them now.
Why is that?
We don't know the route from here on. We ain't never been through the pass ourselves. Say... You ain't traveling in that direction by any chance.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I am. I'm riding over to the Jefferson Ranch on the south slope.
Well, that's great. Looks like we struck it lucky for once, Lex.
What do you mean, kid?
Well, maybe Ponsett wouldn't mind us riding along with him, seeing as how he knows the way. And if we did run into them bandits, it'd be three of us to take care of them.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'd be mighty glad to have some company, but it seems to me like you're letting yourselves in for a pretty long trip, just on a hunch. It's over a day from here through the pass, and there's no certainty the fellas you're after have even taken this trail, you know.
Oh, I guess we can spare the time. There's a $1,500 reward being offered.
$1,500? Oh, wow.
If the posse does catch him, the money will be split 40 ways to breakfast. We won't be losing out on much. But if we run into them ourselves, well, You see what I mean?
Sure.
That is, if you ain't got no objections.
No. No, no. Like I said, I'd welcome a little company. I'll fix us some chow, and then...
We already had breakfast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how about a cup of coffee, anyway?
Well, that's mighty kind of you, but maybe we ought to get started. In case them outlaws did get past you during the night, we wouldn't want them to pile up too much of a lead on us. We could stop for food later.
You boys sure are anxious.
$1,500 is a lot of money.
Well, that's true enough. Oh, God, I guess I can hold off a couple hours.
Get the horses, Link.
Yeah, sure.
Can I give you a hand with that bedroll?
No, I'll manage.
Yes, sir, it was real lucky us bumping into you.
How's that?
I mean, you knowing this trail and all. Otherwise, we'd have had to turn back.
You fellas may be off on a wild goose chase, you know.
No, I just don't think so. Somehow I've got the doggonedest feeling we're headed right.
Well, as soon as I get Scar saddled up, we'll start finding out. Easy, boy. Easy now. It wasn't much of a trail. Just a little rocky path that hugged the side of the mountain and wound around tighter and tighter like the string on a top. It was hard riding, too. Every now and then we'd come to a horseshoe turn, and the horses had to cut so sharp they pulled their back legs in under their bellies and left us sort of hanging out over the ledge, looking down at an awful lot of air.
Easy, 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 easy.
Boy, I got a hand of the Springer brothers, you know. They didn't complain. I'd taken this route before, so I knew what to expect. It was all new to them. After three or four of these loops, though, they did start dabbing their foreheads with their handkerchiefs, but neither one of them said anything about turning back. And to tell you the truth, I was doing a little sweating myself. That's a pretty steep trail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, these horses are getting tired. Maybe we ought to rest a spell next wide space we come to.
They can keep going for a while yet.
Well, maybe they can. I'm getting tired myself.
He's right. We can't risk a stumble not up here.
Okay.
Ah, here. All right, looks like we're coming to a good spot up here.
Yeah.
Whoa, Scar.
Oh, there, boy.
I'm afraid you boys are going to be disappointed.
Huh?
About that $1,500. There haven't been any fresh tracks along the trail. Leastwise, I haven't seen any.
I was so busy riding, I didn't have time to do much looking.
Well, if somebody was just ahead of us, you'd think we'd spot a sign of them here and there.
Maybe somehow we got ahead of them.
Well, in that case, there wouldn't be much point you fellas going on, would there?
Well, we've come this far. We might as well go the rest of the way.
All right, it's up to you.
Sure is hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon I won't be wanting that coffee after all.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm getting rid of this jacket.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. That's a, that belt there. That mighty fancy belt you're wearing there, kid.
Huh?
I don't think I've ever seen a buckle like that before. Silver, isn't it?
Yeah, it's silver.
Yeah, it's real pretty. Too bad you got it all spotted up like that.
Spotted?
Yeah, that looked like a sort of blood you got on there.
Oh. Why, I cut my hand the other day. It must have been when it happened. I didn't realize I'd smeared up my belt, though. Doggone it. Probably have a heck of a time getting the leather clean again.
Yeah. Yeah, blood stains are apt to be sort of permanent.
Yeah.
It's a shame, at least in a belt like that.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment.
And And that's where we're going to leave off Britt Ponsett for this week. I believe, I don't know, there's going to be a show next week, or at least in 2 weeks, which would be the 31st, would be the next Grand Hour. This is a special, not special, it's just a show in memorandum for a friend of mine that died 2 years ago to the day. And I'll talk a little bit more about that here after this public service announcement.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule two, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule three, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Medford. Several years ago, my friend told me about the Fire Sign Theater because he knew I kind of liked radio dramas. And the whole golden age of radio. It took a while for me to come around to it. But it's just, it's one of those little, didn't think much of it at the time, think much more of it now. So, we're gonna play from the Firesign Theater. How can you be in two places at once when you're not anywhere at all? It kind of deals, this particular one fits into the frame of the Grand Hour, the adventures of Nick Danger. We'll go ahead and start this one up. Hope you guys enjoy it. It's rather funny.
Los Angeles, he walks again by night. Out of the fog, into the smog. Relentlessly, ruthlessly.
I wonder where Ruth is.
Doggedly, toward his weekly meeting with the unknown. At 4th and Drucker, he turns left. At Drucker and 4th, he turns right. He crosses MacArthur Park and walks into a great sandstone building.
Oh, my nose!
Groping for the door, he steps inside, climbs the 13 steps to his office. He walks in. He's ready for mystery. He's ready for excitement. He's ready for anything. He's...
Nick Danger, Third Eye.
I want to order a pizza to go and no anchovies.
No anchovies? You've got the wrong man. I spell my name, Danger.
What?
The makers of fantastic cigarettes, long in the leaf and short in the can, bring you another true story from the tattered casebook of Nick Danger, Third Eye. Let's join him now in the adventure we call...
Cut him off at the past!
Let's get down to business. Uncross those beautiful stems of yours, baby. Here's the case I call number 666. It all began innocently enough on Tuesday. I was sitting in my office on that drizzly afternoon, listening to the monotonous staccato of rain on my desktop and reading my name on the glass of my office door. Regnard Kisten. My secretary lay snoring on the floor, her long, beautiful gams pinioned under the couch. I didn't hear him enter, but my nostrils flared at the smell of his perfume. Pyramid patchouli. There was only one joker in L.A. sensitive enough to wear that scent. And I had to find out who he was.
Good afternoon, Mr. Danger. I'm Rocky Rococo.
Thanks, Half Pint. You just saved me a lot of investigative work.
Maybe yes, maybe no. Do you know what this is?
I had to think for a minute. What cruel game was he playing?
That's a brown paper bag.
That's correct. Now, look inside, Mr. Danger. What do you see?
That's easy. That's a pickle.
Very good. Now, I think you're ready for this.
Why, that's nothing but a two-bit ring from a crackerback, Jocks.
I'll sell it to you for $5,000.
What kind of a chump do you take me for?
First class.
That tarnished piece of tin is worthless.
Worthless? Not to Melanie Haber.
Melanie Haber?
You may remember her as Audrey Farber.
Audrey Farber?
Susan Underhill?
Susan Underhill?
How about Betty Jo Bielowski?
Betty Jo Bielowski. I hadn't heard that name since college. Everyone knew her as Nancy. Then it all came rushing back to me like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist. It was pig night at the Om Mani Padme Sigma house. We had escaped from the crowd and stood trembling under the dwarf maples.
Oh, Nicky, I don't know what to say. This is the most beautiful ring I've ever seen.
Yeah, Nancy, it's really neat. It cost me $5,000.
Oh, Nicky, how can I ever repay you?
Well, gee whiz, Nancy. How about 500 down and a 36-month contract?
What?
Or you could marry me.
That's impossible, Nick. I can't marry you. I can't even tell you why. Maybe someday.
All right, Nancy. I understand. Sign here.
Oh, Nick. I'll never forgive you.
And I'll never forget you neither, Nancy. And that's why I called you today, Nancy. I mean, Mrs. Haber. Something reminded me of that time so long ago under the dwarf maples.
I don't know what prompted you to get in touch with me, but you called just in the nick of time.
You haven't lost your delicate sense of humor, have you, Nancy?
What? Nick, I can't talk to you now. You have to get out here right away. My husband, it's the same old place in Santa Barbara, Nicky. Oh, hurry, Nicky, I need you.
Nancy! I slipped the ring into my nose and the receiver into my pocket and headed for the door quickly. But I'd forgotten the little man with the evil grin.
Just a second, Danger. What about my pickle?
You're lucky you still have your brown paper bag, small change.
Danger, you haven't seen the last of me.
No, but the first of you turns my stomach.
You'll be hearing from me again, Danger.
I headed down the hall in the opposite direction toward the fire escape. I hadn't a moment to lose.
Hey, Danger.
Where's the fire?
In your eyes, Lieutenant Bradshaw.
Don't get wise with me, Peeper. You're lucky we didn't burn you on the Anselmo pederasty case.
Look, you caught him, didn't you?
Yeah, but the punk got away, no thanks to you.
Well, what brings your flat feet sniffing around here now, copper?
Just a friendly word of advice, Danger.
Yeah, what?
Don't go sticking your big nose into police business.
Sure, Lieutenant. Is that all?
No. Don't talk with your mouth full.
Okay, Bradshaw.
And don't fidget while I talk to you.
Sure,
and stop tracking mud across my nice,
clean... When I hit the street, the rain had already turned L.A. into a mud river. It was a short swim down Alvarado to my convertible. I had to get to Santa Barbara in a big hurry. As I whipped onto Mulholland Drive, the lights were just twinkling on across the San Fernandino Valley. Could barely make them out through the driving rain. Then a hard right down Big Tujunga Canyon. My tires squealed as I hit Sepulveda. A right, a left, another right, a left of the body, a right, and into a gas station. Hey, Pop!
All right, hold your horses, I'm coming.
Hey, yeah?
Where am I?
You can't get there from here.
But I'm looking for the same old place.
Oh, you must mean the old same place, sonny. It's right out back. Here's the key.
4 hours later, I parked my car in the carriage house and walked up the gray gravel driveway between a line of dwarf maples toward the pillared entrance of the same mansion. It had been snowing in Santa Barbara ever since the top of the page, and I had to shake the cornstarch off my mucklucks as I lifted the heavy obsidian door knocker. Hey in there! Open up! Your door knocker fell off.
What's all this brouhaha?
Brouhaha? Ha ha ha.
Ha 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 ha.
Wait a minute. Don't you want this door knocker?
I already have one.
But this is yours.
You see? I told you. We used to have another one, but he vanished mysteriously. All right, come in out of the cornstarch and dry your mucklucks by the fire. Let me introduce myself. I am Nick Danger.
No, let me introduce myself. I am Nick Danger.
If you're so smart, why don't you pick up your cues faster?
Are those my cues?
Yes, and they must be dry by now. Why don't you pull them up out of the cellophane before they scorch? All right, sir. May I take your hat and coat?
Yes.
I assume you've come to see my mistress, Mr. Danger.
I don't care about your private life or what his name is. I've come to see Nancy... Mrs. Haber.
Mrs. Haber?
Audrey Farber.
Audrey Farber?
How about Betty Jo Bialowski?
Oh, you mean Nancy. Well, she's in the aviary stunting trees. I shall return with her straight away. You may wait here in the sitting room, or you can sit here in the waiting room.
There was something fishy about the butler. I think he was a Pisces, probably working for scale. I felt a thin shiver run up my spine as I sat down on the cold marble floor. What was it about this place? The atmosphere was as phony as the Tudor balustrade that leered at me from the top of the staircase. And there she stood, radiant. All those curves showing through that flimsy burnous.
Nick?
It was Nancy running down the stairs. All the familiar sounds and smells of pig night came rushing back like a good snort of scotch. Then it struck me. 20 years later, and she still knocked me out.
Nick,
where
darling,
am I?
Nick. Nick, wake up. Are you all right?
Yes.
Oh, then stop slapping me.
Nancy. What's the bird's eye lowdown on this caper? Whatever that means.
Nick, we can't talk here.
What do you mean we can't talk here? You're right, we can. What's the way to do?
Follow me. This way. This is much better.
We're at the chapel now. It's soundproofed, so no one can hear us.
What did you say?
I said no one can...
What?
Never mind. Follow me.
What?
Here, take my hand. This way. This is much better.
Yeah. Pretty fancy layout you've got here, Nancy. What's this, your boudoir?
Oh, no, these are the kennels.
Putting on the dog, eh? Well, say, where are all the doggies?
They've mysteriously disappeared.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I just told you. Along with the servants. They were very attached to one another.
Where?
At the wrist and ankles.
Wait a minute. You said all the servants had disappeared.
Did I?
What about your butler?
You mean... Catherwood?
Yes, madam.
Catherwood. Oh, you startled me.
I'm sorry, madam.
What are you doing there on all fours?
I'm looking for my script. Why don't you just go on without me?
Listen, Nancy, I smell a rat.
So do I. I think he's got my script.
Catherwood, you look for it, all right?
All right, you. Madam.
Nick, quickly, through the sacred panel.
All right.
Over here. This is the portrait gallery.
This is the portrait...
There's an echo in here. This is the portrait gallery, Nick. It's the safest room in the mansion. No one can find us here.
All right, Nancy.
Get your hands off me.
What's the scoop?
Chocolate, butterscotch, or Rocky Rococo Road.
That reminded me. How had she gotten herself involved with that slimy weasel Rococo? And how do I make my voice do this?
Oh, Nick. It all began 20 years ago with the mysterious disappearance of my husband.
You mean you were already married when I sold you that ring?
No wonder she hadn't been able to meet the payments.
What?
So that was your secret. Oh, what a sap I've been.
Oh, yes. But that night, the strangest thing happened.
That usually goes along with being just married.
My husband, Johnny, Nick, I want to tell you the horrible truth, the whole truth, all of it. The man behind everything.
Madam.
Let me handle this, Nancy. Far out, Catherwood. Just roll a couple of bombers and leave them on the side table.
Yes, madam. I say. Pardon me, madam. I seem to have crashed. It's been such a long exposition, you know. I'm so tired.
Catherwood.
Yes, sir.
Catherwood, can't you see you're upsetting Nancy? Leave us alone.
Well, how much would you like, sir? 500? 1,000?
I am Scray Osterbay.
Oh, of course, sir. Hello, Kookachook, sir.
Gesundheit.
Yes. I'm so tired. I haven't slept.
All right, Nancy, go on with your story. Start with your dreadful secret.
Oh, Nick, I can't. I can't. I'm so confused.
Well, why don't you just hold your thumb next to your line? See, like this. Huh? This way I don't get confused and I never lose my place.
I feel faint. The whole world is spinning.
Why, that's lucky for us, Nancy. If it were flat, all the Chinese would fall off. Why, she's no fun. She fell right over. Wait a minute. Didn't I say that line on the other side of the record? Where am I? I'd better check.
Who is now?
It's okay. They're speaking Chinese. Poor Nancy. She's fainted. I'll just wrap her skirt around her head like this to keep her warm. And now I'll press her body close to mine to keep me warm.
She looked so helpless there, spread-eagled on the floor. I beat the eagle off and gave her a quick mouth-to-mouth resuscitation job. And then it struck me.
What a sap she had!
Good girl, Nancy. That ought to hold him for a while.
Oh, poor Nicky. He's bleeding. I'll tear this strip off my petticoat.
You want to?
There. You tie him up with this. I'll go through his pockets.
All right. Careful. Don't wake him up.
Oh, that contract must be on him somewhere.
Audrey.
You fools!
What?
Haven't you found the contract yet? Your time is almost up.
Rococo, you slimy blackmailer. How did you get in here? You don't have a key?
No, only half a key.
What?
I had to split it with a sound effects man. Where is the contract, you absent-minded old
fool? Wait a minute. Here it is. I found it. It was taped to his leg.
Give me that. Ha-ha. I've got it at last.
All right. Now, maybe you'll leave us in peace, Rococo. Give me the negative.
Of course. Here it is.
Oh, at last. Now we're out of your evil clutches.
Dan, wait a minute. Look at this negative. It isn't us. It's an interesting approach, but it isn't us.
She's right. What are you trying to pull on me, Rococo?
Oh, my goodness. I must have sent the wrong negative to the police. I must have left yours in the car. I'll go get it.
A second, Rococo. You're not going nowhere until you've explained what you've done with that filthy piece of blackmail.
Are you threatening me? Why, you stupid toad! I ought to beat your brain out!
No! Put down that pickle!
You'll never get away with this, Rococo.
Oh, yeah? Didn't you ever see Casablanca?
The thick veil of pain lifted enough for me to eyeball the situation. Rococo, that sleazy weasel, how did he get in here? And what was he doing with that pickle in one hand and my contract in the other? I had no choice. Nancy and the old butler were frozen with terror. I struggled quietly to my feet and flung myself headfirst at Rococo's stomach.
Thank you. You saved our life.
This ain't no time for ticker tape parades, baby. Get me out of these ropes and into a good belt of scotch.
Let me hold that contract for you, Mr. Danger.
I'll keep that contract, Catherwood. But you can take this pickle off my hands.
No, I think you better hold on to that, Nick.
Good thinking, sweetheart. Lieutenant Bradshaw will need all the evidence he can get.
Yes. And you should stick around, too, Danger. You can help him put all the pieces together, you know.
Right.
No. A left.
I felt like I was being kicked in the head by the whole chorus line at Minsky's. So Nancy was in on this caper. I felt myself going under. The biggest long shot, Louis at Hialeah, wouldn't put a fin on my fate now. This time, something told me I was out for lunch. I even began to hear things.
I'll never forget. Keep your nose up.
All right, hold it right where you are.
I'm Lieutenant Bradshaw with a piece of advice for you. Now, here in the studio, it's all knuckles and know-how. But when that red light goes off, I'm just plain Harry Ames, citizen and weekend father. Now, take a tip from a cop who does. Radio work can be just as dirty and exciting as hunting down public enemy number one. So when I get home, my old lady knows what I need and how. A warm, heaping bowl full of looseners, castor oil flakes with real glycerin vibrafoam. It doesn't just wash your mouth out. It cleans the whole system right on down the line. So come on, you little rookies. Tell your mom to get on it and do it every day. Just remember what the guys down at the precinct house sing.
Oh, it ain't no use if you ain't got the boost you get from looseners, looseners.
The all-weather breakfast. And now we return you to Act 3 of Nick Danger, Third Eye.
When the crazy escalator ride ended, I fought my way back up to the land of the living. I came to slumped over in the front seat of my own car, lying in a pool of cheap rot gut. I had a head full of ideas that were driving me insane and a mouthful of cotton candy.
You want some more cotton candy, Danger? It might sober you up.
Oh, my head. Bradshaw, baby.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be happy to see your ugly mug.
Save the wisecracks for the warden, Danger. I got you this time and I got you good.
What are you talking about?
Get out of that car.
Hey, come on.
If you can stand up and keep your hands high, I got you covered.
Hey, what's this all about, Bradshaw? You know I never carry a rod.
Yeah, but it's murder what some people can do with a car, and I got witnesses to prove it.
Keep me away from him.
Take it easy, little lady.
I don't know why you're doing this, Nancy, but it doesn't change my feelings about you.
Oh, Nick, you're such a tool. He did it.
All right. Take it easy, little lady. All right, now let's get these facts straight. Take this down, Henderson. Okay, Professor, how did it happen?
Well, Sergeant...
Lieutenant.
Yes, Mrs. Farber and I were sitting right here in the living room engaged in a friendly round of spin the pickle, weren't we, dear? Yes, with our good friend Mr. Rococo.
He did it.
Yes, and then suddenly the door flew open and this drunken madman right here drove in, honking wildly and headed straight for us.
He's lying, Bradshaw!
Can it, Danger?
Yes, at the last possible moment... He stopped on a dime.
I see.
Unfortunately, the dime was in Mr. Rococo's pocket.
Yes, I'm going to break your neck, Captain Walker!
All right. Hold it, Danger. I've heard enough. We'll get the rest of the story down at the station house from you. I've been waiting for this for years.
Wise up, Bradshaw.
Week in and week out,
I didn't
Danger,
do it.
Playing second fiddle while you got all the girls.
Come on.
Well, I'm tired of being Mr. Nice Guy. See, there's going to be some changes made. Next week, this show is going to be called...
Sergeant Bradshaw!
Lieutenant.
District Attorney!
I'm going to have my own theme music, and it's all going to take place in Washington, D.C. No plots, just girls and guys doing nice, simple things up against Nazis and fifth columnists, and no Jewish writers either.
I saw my chance, and I took
my name in the papers.
Bradshaw would never listen to my story now.
Colonel
it had more Linder, holes in it than
Charles
I would
Charles Foster Kane.
My only way up was like this!
Catherwood, stop it. I've got Bradshaw's rod pressed against Nancy's turret. Now you spill the beans or I'll blow her brain out.
I think you're bluffing, Flatfoot. No, you weren't bluffing.
All right, talk.
It all began 20 years ago. I was a freshman in college then, although you wouldn't hardly believe it to look at me now. I had just completed work on my science project, and I invited Nancy down to reveal the secret to her. Well, this is it, Nancy. How do you like it?
So this is where you've been every night since we got
sure
married.
Sure is.
Oh, Nicky, I thought you were out...
Danny, but don't say it, Nancy. I know it's been hard, but I wanted to give you the swellest honeymoon a girl had ever had. We're going to Greece.
And swim the English Channel?
No. To ancient Greece, where burning Sappho loved and sang and stroked the wine-dark sea in the temple by the moonlight, wa-da-doo-da.
What?
Don't you see, Nancy? I've built the perfect time machine.
Oh, it sounds dangerous.
Yes, that's why I'm going to try it out first. Now, when I get into this grandfather clock, you hit me over the head with this bottle of champagne right here.
Oh.
Set the dial for 1,000 and put in 3 dimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be gone for 1,000 years.
1,000? Oh, that's longer than anyone's ever been gone before.
But to you, it will seem only like a minute. Very well, my love. Now, forward into the past!
Yeah. Gee, I hope he gets back before all this dry ice melts. Who's there?
Mrs. Haber?
Who's that?
I'm Rocky Rococo. You may have seen me loitering around the drugstore drinking chocolate malted Vulcans and giving away free high schools.
What are you doing here? What do you want?
I'm here for a friend, Mrs. Haber. If you sign a contract, you're supposed to keep up the payments.
Oh, you must be a friend of Nick's.
Yes.
Well, he couldn't want his money already. He only gave me the ring last night. I'm wearing it, see?
Yes, that's a very pretty hand you have there.
Ancient Greece, look at this grape.
Oh, who are you, old man? What have you done with my husband?
What do you mean, Nancy? I am your husband. Well, who's that ugly dwarf with his hand in your mouth, Nancy?
Rocky Rococo at your cervix.
All right, Catherwood, I've heard just enough.
What?
Listen,
I'm telling this story, young man. What are you doing in my flashback?
Flashback? What are you talking... Flashback. All right, all of you. You stay right where you are. Put your thumbs on your place in your script while I figure this out.
Okay, all right.
So that was her horrible secret. Poor Nancy, married to a man 1,000 years old. Now I understood why the servants had disappeared. It was Catherwood who killed Rococo to protect his wife, my Betty Jo.
Who is he talking to? How does he make his voice do that?
All right, Bradshaw, there's your confession. I hope you got it all down. Bradshaw? Bradshaw. Oh, that's right. He's not in this flashback. Skip ahead a bit. No, I can't skip ahead. All right, everybody. Into the time machine.
No. You don't understand how radio works. Now, this is my flashback. All I have to do to return us to the present is fade my voice out like this and cue the organist. And you see, here we are.
Oh, my goodness.
What's happening? Am I seeing double? There's two of everybody except me.
Pandemonium was breaking out all around me.
Wait a minute.
Who are you?
I was here first. You imposter. Take that.
Terrible.
You keep away from him, you young hussy.
Well, who are you calling a hussy, you old bag?
Well, how dare you talk to me like that?
I can talk to me any way I like.
Oh, what nerve? I'm not you. You're me 20 years ago.
What? You ever let a nerve say I'm going to look like that in 20 years?
Oh, yeah?
There ain't room enough in this dress for both of us. Get your knife.
Well, this is a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, Dad.
Glad to have someone my own age to talk to after all these years.
Why don't we sing something?
Well, I've forgotten the key.
Oh, that's all right. I've got a lid out in the car.
David?
Half-caste woman, living a life apart. Where did your story begin?
Stop it.
Singing, you fools. Can't you see someone has been crushed here under this car? Oh, my God, it's me. I don't look at all well. I'm dead. I've been killed. Oh, this hasn't happened to me since M.
I did a quick 20-20 on the whole scene.
I thought that I was the only one going insane. But now we are all in this together.
I knew what I had to do.
I didn't like it, but that happened never happened before. All right, everybody, take off your...
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this scheduled transmission to bring you an announcement of national importance from the White House in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen... Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, this morning at 6:25 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, combined elements of the Imperial Japanese Navy and our forces ruthlessly attacked our naval base at Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands. I have conferred this morning with the Congress and the Chiefs of Staff in emergency session. We have reached our rendezvous with destiny. It is our unanimous and irrevocable decision that the United States of America unconditionally surrender. And now my wife and I would like to return with you for the thrilling conclusion of Private Nick Danger, Third Eye.
So I've solved another one for you.
Danger, I'll never know how you do it. I was sure I had the goods on you this time.
Well, Bradshaw, it's like in the army, you know. The great prince issues commands, founds states, vests families with fiefs. Inferior people should not be employed.
Nick, I can't knock success, but you still put me through too many changes.
The makers of Loosener's Castor Oil Flakes and Fantastic Cigarettes. Loosener's for the smile of beauty, Fantastic's for the smile of success, have brought you the transcribed adventures of Nick Danger, Third Eye. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, when Nick Danger meets the Arab.
All right, let's do the little...
Rolling.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Phil, you put on the ball pit. We'll go to the other side.
How much time have we got?
How much time we got?
Why don't you say that? Okay, well, that's that. Yeah. How much time? Oh, look at this.
Time, okay, hey, Cyrus.
We're on now.
Cyrus.
Do we have
yeah,
to...
Okay.
I'm going
over to the other side of the record.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in from
the... Well, how much? How long does it take to get over the other side?
Okay, wait a minute.
Just a minute or something. We haven't got...
Come on, let's
have you got your ball bait?
Oh, right.
Come on,
look. Let's just do it. Has anybody got my script?
Any time, Cyrus. Here we go.
Scene 3, take 600.
Reported original air date for that was the 6th of December, 1941. But that's all in the joke, I suppose. Because the album came out in 1969. Again, I don't know too much about Firesign Theater. It was recommended to me by a friend of mine. This is, we're going to conclude the grand hour a little bit early. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, WMFO.org, for those of you listening on the web. I do have some listeners out in Texas and Kansas. It's kind of funny because it's 34 degrees here with snow at WMFO. Right now in Fort Bend, Harris in Montgomery County, Texas. It only appears to be 20 degrees. And in Marshall County, Kansas, it's -1. So, I guess it's a warm snow here. And remind you, those are all in Fahrenheit, and the glass is always half full in Fahrenheit, and there's winter temperatures. But I'll be back for sure on the 31st of January with a regular double billing show. Two radio dramas. Actually, we'll have to complete the second act of the Silver Buckle that we heard to start off the show. For the remainder of the show, I'm just going to play out some music that I procured from my friend, or just music that we talked about. We probably won't be back on live. I'll just play out the remainder of the set. I can say it's going to be Billy Gibbons. There's going to be a couple of his bands in there. First, the Moving Sidewalks, and then later with ZZ Top, and a band called Bubble Puppy, which I absolutely abhor everything about them. But my friend Charlie, you got to see him down there in Houston at some point there in the 60s. And a band called Mountain. Again, I'm not too high on their horse, but they were one of Charlie's. He just say he liked them. I'm going to start off with a PSA. Thanks for listening. And again, I'm just going to play out the rest of the show with music.
Hi, I'm Michael Strahan with PETA.
When I'm not playing defense for the New York Giants, I'm protecting the home team, my girls Tasha, Katie, and Stella. During the cold winter months, dogs left chained outside can suffer from frostbite and hypothermia, as well as stress and loneliness. Your dog depends on you for love and protection. So bring them inside, take them for walks, make them a part of your pack. In other words, be your dog's biggest defender.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
Feel like you should. So we got on an elevator, then we hit a shuttle.
40, the Royals and Astros play at 7 o'clock. Just thought you might want to know. Bye. I'm a swamp boy. I'm a swamp boy.